You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here we go. Down the stretch we come on this Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, and a show with a lot of salt in it as we have a concluding decision made on TexGate. I'm Jim Donovan. Nathan Tagura is off today. Matt Wilhelm, as always, here.
As always.
Andrew Gribble joins us. Actually, now his name, I know I've been saying that all day. His name is just Matt Wilhelm, not Matt Wilhelm, as always. But Andrew Gribble joins us from ClevelandBrowns.com. Again, to recap, the NFL finally came down with the ruling on TexGate. Ray Farmer is the guy. He gets nailed, and the punishment goes his way as he gets suspended for 4 games at the start of the regular season. No contact, no salary during the 4-week period of time. There's a $250,000 fine to the team, and also no, and I underline no, loss of draft choices or even a draft choice. The Atlanta Falcons, for pumping in fake crowd noise for about 2 years, they get nailed with Rich McKay, their president of the team. He is excused now and suspended from the competition committee, which he cherishes his role there. And the earliest he can be reinstated is on June 30th. A $350,000 fine to the Falcons and the loss of a fifth-round draft choice next year. Not this year, next year. Andrew Gribble joins us from ClevelandBrowns.com. And we've been asking everybody about the reaction. Number one, thank heavens it's over, is our reaction. Number two, and I don't want to speak for Matt, but I will, we're very happy that they did not lose a draft choice. Tough break for Ray, but he seems to have, you know, taken ownership of it. He knew there was something coming his way, but the team anyway, and as Tony Grossi said, the fans are not being punished.
Yeah, you know, and this kind of matches what Matt and I talked about last week at some point. You know, I think the Browns and Falcons were being lumped in together just because the discipline was coming out at the same time. But clearly the NFL viewed what the Falcons did as significantly worse, because not only was their fine bigger, more people were affected by their punishment, and then they lose the draft pick. Whereas the Browns, the big story coming out of this, because of all the speculation that kind of hovered over the team for the last couple months, the Browns still have 10 draft picks, which is now being viewed positively on a story that may otherwise have been viewed as negative, because this is still a punishment that Ray Farmer has to deal with. He's going to be gone for a month, which is any time of year for a GM to be gone is significant. That's a significant point of the season. But this is kind of a closure moment, I would say, and can move on going forward.
So.
Ideally, you would have liked this before the start of free agency, but you couldn't get it that way. But now you have it with a bunch of weeks before the draft, and you're in good shape to kind of know you still are using those 10 picks, especially those first six that are really early in the draft.
So is it safe to say that you believe, because I thought that when Adam Schefter, whoever it was, reporting that we were going to have severe sanctions against us as an organization, and even some rumors started that it'd be a second and fourth round pick, and most people thought this season, which would be detrimental to this draft because of the value that we can get with that second pick and one of our two fours, that the penalty, if there was a draft pick, because we are only 30 days away, would have been next year's draft, just like the Falcons.
Yeah, you know, I think it just shows that the word severe is pretty vague, I guess. Like, you could take it in so many different directions, and I understand the kind of the mentality to maybe go to the extreme of thinking that this is going to be a first or second round pick, but clearly I think the severe penalty aspect of this was directed at Ray Farmer, and he's taken ownership of that, I guess, since the combine, when he came out and talked about it and everything like that. And I think the penalty was focused on Ray Farmer, but the team as a whole can still go forward with those 10 drafts.
Yeah, well, it's certainly severe to him.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean,
in some cases, he'll probably get fined more than the $250,000 that the team is being fined, you would think.
Yeah, he does not get paid during the period of time. The other thing is that, I mean, you know, we look at it right now, all of us, we sit here and we say, you know, we don't count on Ray on a third down conversion during those 4 weeks of the regular season. We don't count on Ray to punt the other team out inside the 10-yard line. In other words, he's not affecting the game on game day.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we get the draft choices.
Right.
And that's the key thing here. But this is a sign of the times. I'm telling you, I think it is severe. It's severe to him. And, it's a sign of the times. I mean, this is like a social media discipline that's been handed down. It's a new wave thing. It's a thing that, you know, Matt, back when you and I were growing up, we didn't have to worry about this because there were no cell phones.
Yeah, you know, even I, when I look back at college, I was so glad that Twitter wasn't around when I was in college, because just the thing, you put stuff out there and it's out there forever, and it can be held against you, and you just have to kind of learn to adapt that now there's kind of this trail, this internet trail of everything you can do. And I think that, so going forward, I think this is obviously a learning moment for Ray Farmer and probably anyone else in the NFL who might be doing these kinds of things on reactionary kind of things on game day. So, you know, it sets a precedent that where now no other GM is going to want to be away from their team for a month and deal with no salary for a month. I mean, these are, you know, when just looking at it from Ray Farmer's perspective, it's a pretty serious thing. He likes working all the time. I mean, it's severe in that aspect, but again, from the team, no loss of draft picks. You're still getting 10 players on draft day, if not more or less, if you trade up.
Over on ClevelandBrowns.com, I know you're boiling down the draft a great deal, and as Matt alluded to, it's right there now. It's like a month away in Chicago. Guys, I have to tell you, as I watch this thing unfold, it seems every Monday I look and there are more potential draft players getting in trouble. You know, with I mean, you know, and I know that there's a couple of kids at Alabama got in trouble over the weekend. Now, I know they're still, you know, or maybe they're no longer at Alabama. They're not NFL draft prospects coming up, but it is such a big part of the draft, isn't it? When you enter into making a kid your pick high in the draft, and you really have to do such expansive behind-the-scenes investigating into his background.
Yeah, I mean, and for now, it's maybe a little easier for these teams because this stuff is maybe getting reported more so than it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, you know, on some of these major college beats, reporters don't let a traffic ticket kind of slip by without it even getting out there reported on a player. You mentioned the two Alabama ones. Those are both pretty significant arrests. The one player, Geno Smith, he probably would have been a draft prospect next year. He maybe a mid-round pick, but it was his second DUI at Alabama. You wonder about his future there, but it's kind of a troubling thing. And then the other one is a big deal that Nick Saban's going to have to answer some tough questions today.
He had been transferred in, right?
The player who had a domestic violence thing pending against him, Jonathan Taylor, he then gets arrested for domestic violence in Tuscaloosa. He was immediately kicked off the team. Geno Smith, the safety, his status is still up in the air after the
DUIs. Where are the good kids, Andrew, that went to Elyria Catholic? Huh? And we're considered by the service academies and by the Big Ten schools.
You're right.
They go to Ohio State. They live a clean life. Where are those kids now, Matt Wilhelm?
They're there somewhere. And again,
other than sitting across from me, where the heck are those guys?
They're out there.
Where are the Jim Leonards?
Yes.
Right? I mean, there's a guy that was just a great guy.
There are.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? I think it's today's world. I feel like there's an obligation. And again, as I hold up my phone, there's an obligation to feel like you connect with people via social media. And in fact, there is not. When you sign on a dotted line with an organization, it talks nothing of Twitter, nothing of Facebook, nothing of Instagram, nothing of, you know, you having to tweet X amount of times, maybe with your marketing deal on the side. But there is no marketing deal if you cannot play the game of football. That will disappear. And I am so happy that I was not, you know, playing this game in the day and age of the start of the day and age of camera phones and social media, because the amount of scrutiny that is created and transferred via phones in today's world from what somebody is drinking at a restaurant can be, you know, tweeted across the world simply because you're a follower of theirs, to me is obnoxious to a certain degree. But these guys have to know, and in some cases, Jim, just as they can't pass a drug test prior to the draft, they are coached on all these things. How receptive they are to it is another.
I thought the most interesting thing was a month ago, I think it was Jameis Winston met Roger Goodell, and then immediately after the meeting, he deletes his Twitter account. And that was maybe the one area where he wasn't getting in trouble. I don't remember Jameis Winston having any kind of crazy tweets or anything, but clearly that was a thing he took away right away. He took any sort of avenue where he could get in trouble. He eliminated that from kind of his life, I guess.
Okay, Andrew, thanks very much. Continue on with ClevelandBrowns.com. Remember, you go over there, you get all the latest Browns news, and as we get ready for the start of the team coming in here in the middle of April.
Very soon.
And everything that's going on. Thank you, Andrew.
No problem. Thanks,
guys. Matt and I are back to wrap up the Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily after a timeout. Can you